I'm reminded of a Monday some years ago when I attended the daily Mass at our cathedral on my lunch break, and the presider was somebody I didn't recognize. He introduced himself. He said, "I'm Father Matthias Thelen, and I've been a priest for 2 days. Father Matthias served us well during his stay here at Queens, and may he quickly recover from his current illness and continue to serve God and shepherd his congregation skillfully." I feel something similar, perhaps, to what Father Matthias felt that day. I've been a deacon for 23 hours. And I pray that this baby deacon will serve you well. Before we begin our reflections on the readings, I'd just like to say that I've appreciated all your kind words and thoughts and prayers during my formation. And I assure you that you, all of you, are in Sally and my prayers and will remain there. But friends, today is the Solemnity of the Ascension. We continue our journey through Easter, but perhaps sometimes in the beauty of spring, although it's a little cold and dreary today, and the frustrations and challenges that we encounter in our daily lives, we lose focus, our attention wanders. We need to always remember, always keep in mind, that without his passion, his death, his resurrection, and his ascension, the story about Christmas would just be another cute baby story. And our gathering here today would be meaningless. St. Augustine said, "The entire year really can be divided into before Easter and after Easter. Before Easter, we live in need and hope. And after, we rejoice and give thanks, and we have a purpose." Let's consider the scripture we heard proclaimed this morning. In our first reading from the beginning of the Acts of the Apostles, Luke describes Jesus giving some last-minute instructions to his disciples before he started to rise higher and higher in the sky and finally disappear in the clouds. Then two men dressed in white suddenly appeared and essentially said, "Hey guys, why are you just looking up?" I have to put myself in that place. Join me there. I don't know about you, but I would absolutely be one of those dazed people staring up at the sky, eyes wide, mouth gaping. After all, that was pretty spectacular. Sometimes we find ourselves dazzled by the amazing and overlook other critical elements. What kinds of elements am I talking about? Luke tells us Jesus was careful to nurture his shocked, his terrified, and his disillusioned followers for 40 days before he rose from the dead. He reassured them that they would be baptized and empowered by the Holy Spirit and enabled to be the witnesses he called them to be. In today's reading, even after following Jesus for 3 years, the disciples still didn't get it. They continued to wait for Jesus to vanquish the Roman occupation army and reestablish Israel as an earthly kingdom. But Jesus didn't express any frustration with their being slow to catch on. He just redirected them to be concerned with the work they were called to do. That was the message for them. And it's the message for us today. St. Paul told us in the second reading that when Jesus rose, he didn't just ascend to a well-deserved vacation, resting on his laurels from all the good works he did on earth. No, he took his place, the place the Father reserved for him at his right side. And this is critical for us to remember. The Father put all things beneath his feet, all things, including the world, us, and his church, are under Jesus' control. So what's our role after Jesus' ascension? In the Gospels, Jesus commanded his disciples, and by extension us, to go into the world and proclaim the gospel to every creature. Jesus promised every aid, every tool, the disciples and we would need. The words we are to say, the strength to say them, and the grace to ease the sick, the hopeless, the helpless, and despairing. What's the take-home message for us today? Just as just like every other Mass we've ever attended, we will hear a dismissal. Perhaps, go and announce the gospel of the Lord. That, by the way, is our bishop's favorite. Or, go in peace, glorifying the Lord by your life. We've all heard Deacon Jack say that a lot, and Deacon Dave, and Deacon Pat. Friends, the dismissal isn't a signal that the final hymn is the only thing that stands between us and breakfast or brunch or the golf course or something else. It's a battle cry, a call to action. It's our task until we regather here in this place for Mass. Perhaps you are involved with the St. Vincent de Paul Society, you're thinking about it, or active in the Blue Army, or maybe you've been thinking about contributing your time and your talents to one of the parish commissions or ministries as the pandemic eases, or filling one of our vacant adoration hours, or perhaps you are pondering your first contribution to the annual DSA campaign. These or another one of a host of options are all vitally needed. But we are called to one thing, no matter what else we do. We are called to spread the good news, primarily with our actions. What's the good news? In last Sunday's gospel, we heard that we are to love everyone as Jesus loved us. Everyone, including the people we can't stand to be around. My patron saint is St. Francis of Assisi. And he's given credit for saying, preach the gospel always. If necessary, use words. Let's imitate his directive and let the flood of Jesus' love flow through us and pour over everyone we meet this week. So when we hear the dismissal today, and at every Mass from now on, let's leave our church with perseverance and God-given strength in our wills and burning flames in our hearts and a commitment to preach the good news with our very lives.